same set of problems, the same set of issues, and you want God to take you to another place. I may deal with something, but not this. Not this again. If you shed a tear this morning, save that Kleenex as a memorial. This is the last tear I cry over this. This is the last time I go through over. I may go through through with something, but not this. There's a point in life that God's trying to switch us to, where I'm in a series called Minded, and we've talked about being closed-minded, small-minded. Last week was high-minded, because arrogance stinks in the nostrils of God. You never get to the point where you're too good to speak to people. You're too good to just be kind and be nice. Because all of us could say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Can I give somebody about 10 seconds that has not been perfect in here? But thank God that he has been. And you say, I'm blessed not because I've been good, but because he's good. Come on, can we give God praise for that now? Thank you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not walking out on me. Thank you for being good when I was bad. You're still good. This morning, I want to talk about being double-minded. And I want to pull you into a place where you can receive from God. Many of us wrestle with being double-minded. Go to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. It's on the screen. You could find it there in your Bible. James 1, 5 through 8. It says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given. Anybody in here need direction in your life? You want to know what's next, what to do? The Bible says in the scripture, if you lack wisdom, you can ask him. He gives to all men. He doesn't just give to the CEOs of companies. He doesn't just give to people with a lot of money. He doesn't hold back. He does it without reproach. I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, whatever you are. God will give you wisdom if you ask for it. Here's the contingency, verse 6. It says, but you let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That doubting is not you. That doubting is you questioning whether or not God can speak to you. And I want to tell you today, I don't care where you are, God can speak to you. I don't care what state of light you're in, God wants to speak to you. Matter of fact, some of us run from God when we're in certain situations. And God said, if you feel like running, don't. My message is not as bad as you think. You all right in here? I want to save you and rescue you. I don't want you tossed in. Verse 7 says this: for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God, for the Lord. He is a double-minded man. That's where I want to be. Double-minded, when that man is not just gender, it's mankind. He is a double-minded person, unstable in all of his ways. When you are double-minded, you are unstable. Here's three main ideas I want to give you today. Being double-minded, it keeps you from receiving from God, because if you're going to send somebody a package, you got to have an address, right? When you're double-minded, you got two addresses. Well, maybe, maybe not. And I don't know where to send it. And God said, I need you to settle yourself, because when you become single-minded, it brings stability to your life. Anybody in here that just does not like stability? I don't like myself when I'm not stable. God said, I want you to settle down. Look at your neighbor and say, sat down. God said, some of us, he wanted to just, you need to calm down, come all the way down. And I want you to bring some stability in your life by being single-minded. And here's the thing about God. God gives without discrimination and without accusation or reproach. Meaning when you ask God, he's not going to remind you of all the times you asked before. When you ask God, because sometimes when you ask people, didn't you ask me for this last week? Or no, I ain't giving it to you because you should have asked before now. God is not like that when you ask. The scripture, but some people say he may not come when you want him, but he comes on time. But here's the thing, he comes on his own time. God gives you things in his timing and without reproach. God loves you. I don't know who I want to tell you in here. I don't know. Somebody here may think God is upset with him. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you because of choices you made in life, things you've done. I don't care who you are. God loves you. And God's love for you will not change. And God wants to level you up to the place where he wants you to be. But let me talk about your mindset for a minute. It is of the utmost importance that you think properly. Many of us, we have a million-dollar dream and a 10-cent mindset. And it's a contradiction in life. And the hardest part in life is to unbelieve something. How many of y'all been in church the majority of your life? Can I be honest with you? It's the hardest for us to receive from God, because you done heard every scripture, and you know David beats Goliath every time you read it. Jesus gets up from the grave with all power on Easter. On every Christmas, y'all put him in the manger and pray to little baby Jesus. every Christmas, and you know all the moves of God, and you know that if you're Pentecostal, you know when it's the time of Pentecost, you tarry because you speak in tongues. You know all the moves, so when you see the moves of God, it's nothing new to you. Like, I done seen it before. But somebody who walks just straight in from the street, never really heard of all these things, and just senses the power that we've gotten used to, things can move at the speed of faith. Because they don't have all the stuff that we go through. Maybe God should bless you, and maybe God shouldn't bless you. They just know, here I am, God, standing in the need of prayer. You've been in church for a long time. We got all kind of names that we call God. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing God. He is the beginning of the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's everything. But when you are in trouble, you don't have time for all them words. The only thing you have time to say is, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. And you can receive from God because you don't have all that other stuff going back and forth. It's hard to unbelieve something because, watch this, when you believe something, you go looking for evidence to prove that what you believe is true. Watch this. People who don't like to work, they go find the worst job. Yeah, I'm all right. With the worst supervisor, and will convince themselves, this is why I don't need to work. People who don't like people will go find the most bougie, stuck-up, arrogant people and tell you that's why you can't trust people. But let me tell you something. If you're looking for a blessing, you can find a cloud, the sign of a man's hand, and say it's about to rain. All you need is a moment and a word from God that said my season is about to change, but it's all based on how you think, because your mindset drives your behavior. And here's why I think, as a church, I'm not trying to beat up the church or anything, but here's why I think we failed. We become a church of behavior modification. Well, people think when I come to God, I'm going to start changing everything in my life. Well, I got to stop doing this and stop doing that. And the reality is you can't change nothing until you believe different. And I want BFF to be a church where you can belong before you believe and believe before you behave. Because I want you to be a place that you can come in. I don't care what you got going on in life. God loves you. He accepts you. And then you learn about who God says you are. And when you learn who God says you are, your behavior changes because you said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I'm acting different because I am different. But we go backwards. We try to act different, then believe different, then we feel like we can be a part. No, no, no. It works the other way around. God accepts you as you are, tells you who you are, and then you act out who you are in the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. The power that drives us as a church is not just positive thinking, because positive thinking will only take you so far. We believe thinking positively about the word of God. If his word says it, that settles it, and that's what our mind is set on. But here's the challenge. Let me talk about the characteristics of being double-minded. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What you believe impacts how you behave. Double-minded is not a sin or a curse. It's a state or a place that God wants to get you out of. It's a state of going back and forth. Well, God, I believe you said this, but it don't look like this. And you're going back and forth. And God said, you can get out of this. Because according to the scripture, double-minded is when you doubt. When you're going, you're vacillating back and forth. God, I know you promised this. I can only speak for me. God has made me certain promises. But when I look at my current reality, it doesn't look like what God says. And I got a choice. Am I going to look at what's in front of me, or am I going to trust what God says? Because watch this. What's in front of you is subject to change. But God's word will never change. Here's the challenge. A double-minded person literally has two agendas operating inside of you. And it calls a division of your soul. Let's talk about the division in your soul for a moment. There are five things that I want to show you that could drive the division in your soul. Number one is trauma. If you have been perhaps molested, abused, or rejected, or certain things, and now it creates a trauma inside of you. Well, now watch this. You can have a longing for a relationship, but you don't trust people. So I want to be in love with you, but I really don't trust you because of what's happened to me in my past. I've been scarred by certain things. So I got this duality going on the inside of me. And you can feel like you're dealing with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because you don't know which one of me you're going to get. But it's really not you. It's what I've been through. And it creates this trauma which causes war on the inside of you. Another thing that causes it is adversity. When you face adversity, certain things happen, and you begin to question whether or not you're in the will of God or whether or not God wants to do certain things in your life. Watch this. Whenever you go in the direction that God wants you to go in, Satan is going to fight you tooth and nail. He doesn't want you to get to where God wants you to be. He cannot destroy your destiny, so he's trying to stop you. Can I tell you what adversity looks like? The first 2 years that we started this church in 2009 and 2010 were very rough for me and my family. And I'm a person that I like to see signs and make sure I'm going in the right direction. And I remember sitting talking to a guy who was counseling me, and I was talking to the counselor, it was a couple of years into it, and I said, I don't know if I'm called to this. I don't know if I'm a senior pastor. I don't know. Maybe I missed God. Maybe I should have been the second man. Maybe this is just not what I'm supposed to be. And he said, why do you think that? I said, man, too many things have happened. I said, man, we started the church, and the first year we started the church, my sister died. She got killed in a car accident. The second year of the church, my brother died. And I'm like, man, is God trying to send me a sign? Is something wrong? I told you all the revelation I got from God that he's not passive aggressive. If God wants to deal with you, he will knock on your front door. He don't take your job to deal with you. He don't take your friends to deal with you. God will deal with you. He's gangster like that. He don't deal with nobody else. He'll come straight on your front door. He's not passive. He is. He'll deal with you. But here's how I came to that conclusion. And the guy asked me a question. He said, you came from a background where they talked about being cursed, didn't you? I said, how did you know? He said, you're thinking God is trying to pay you back for stuff that's happened in your life. Some of you sitting in this room right now, some things have happened. You say, God, am I cursed? Are things not going the way I should go? And there have been some well-meaning believers who have spoke things into your life that cause you to question whether or not God is doing certain things in your life. I want to tell you in this place today, you are not cursed. If things happen in your life, it's not God paying you back. People say things all the time like, God's the one. He gave somebody cancer. God can't give you what he didn't have. He has healing. He doesn't have sickness. Life happens. We live in a cursed and fallen earth. That's why we got a Savior who will help you through this. But if you are not careful, you will question where you are by what's happening to you. And I was there, and I could not get confident. I could not get my footing sure because I was questioning whether or not I should be here based on what happened outside of me. And God said, and the guy, he helped me. He said, no, that's not the way God works. You figure out what's going on inside of you, and it will change everything going on outside of you. I can't bring back my brother and sister. I can't change what happened there, but I can walk in my call. Satan will use tragedy, trauma, and all those things to get you to question what God is doing in your life. When you get ready to go in the direction that God wants you to go in, get ready for resistance. It don't mean you're wrong. It just means Satan trying to stop you. Who am I talking to in here that's facing some resistance in your life? Now, I want to let you know that God's hand is on your life, and no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Another thing that causes division in your soul is when you look at yours and others' experiences. Whenever you get ready to do something different, Satan will always show you somebody who failed at what you're trying to do. You look straight ahead at me. He'll show you somebody else who attempted to do what you're called to do, and they failed at it, and now you get nervous. You're getting ready to go on a cruise, the first cruise you ever go on. You cut on Good Morning America, ABC News, and you see a ship laying on its side. That is not a sign from God. That's a ship laying on its side. You'll never mind all the ships that made it to their destination. That one is your sign. That's just one. That God didn't give me wings or whatever. I don't need to be in the air. I don't need to be. No, you need to go get on your cruise and face your fear. He'll show you all the people who failed that relationship. And you'll look at that. No. You are focused on what God said, but it causes this duality when you look at what others and you say things like this. What makes me any different? I ain't no different than them. I made some of the same mistakes they made. What means to tell me I'm going to do well and they didn't? Can I tell you something? As it comes a point in your life where you quit comparing yourself to everybody else. Will you quit feeling the pressure from everybody else? I'm at a stage in life, I don't care if you buy a Maybach and a Tesla, and you drive it every different days of the week. It don't put no pressure on me to buy a new car. No, I'm not paying that note, and I'm not trying to impress you. I'm sitting around here eating noodles and noodles because I'm driving good. No, I'm going to move at the pace that God has me. But when you feel the pressure to compete and to impress people, other people's experience has a great bearing on you. You all right in here? But when you understand it's you and God, you move at this pace that God wants you to move in. You know another thing that causes this division in our soul where we go back and forth is when you have contradictory thoughts, where you can't discern the origin of where the thought comes from. Because I'm going to tell you, every thought in your head did not come from God. Satan plants thoughts in your head, and they sound logical because he has facts to back them up. But facts don't change anything. Is it not a fact that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? But that's not true. The fact is the sun never rises nor sets. The earth rotates on its axis around the sun. There you get night and day. That's fact. Fact is you may be hurting in your body, but that's subject to change. Truth is by his stripes you are healed. Fact is you've gone through in life, but the truth is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you can have contradictory thoughts based on facts. But God said, I'm not moved by your facts. I stand flat-footed in my truth. Who am I talking to? Y'all talk back to me this morning. And if you're moved by contradictory thoughts, this is no reflection of anyone who suffers from a medical condition, but you almost feel bipolar in your actions, because you can be good one moment and something happens as it pulls you into a bad place. I know what it feels like. All right? Another thing that you deal with, and the last one, is an internal conflict producing indecision. For every person in here who has made a decision, just be honest. How many of y'all made a decision you wish you could take back? That decision triggers guilt. And that guilt causes an internal conflict. Can I tell you that a lot of people serve God out of guilt? Not because he's good, but because you feel guilty. And guilt should never be your driving force in life, because when you feel good about yourself, you'll stop serving God. I serve God because he's good in spite of my guilt. He's good in spite of my decisions. He's never changed who he is. But at this internal conflict, watch this, when you feel guilty, it's trying to pull you back into the situation that you're trying to move out of. When you feel condemned, what do you do with condemned buildings? Do you tear them down or do you build them? You tear them down. So you have this internal war going on the inside of you that's causing this division. Because watch this, Satan wants to make you feel guilty for praying, because you feel guilty. When you get ready to pray, he'll remind you of all the stuff you've done. You can't pray this week. You cussed too many people out. So this week, Lord, I'm going to just Monday. Monday, I'm going to take it off. I can't make no promises on Tuesday. And now you're trying to act good. I'm going to feed all the little ducks with bread. I'm going to go to a nursing home, do all this stuff. So watch this. I'm going to get rid of my guilt so God can bless me. Watch this. God can still bless you and you still feel guilty. Because guilt, what most of us are dealing with, is a feeling. And Satan is trying to pull you into a sentence where you feel like your life is cursed. So you see all these things they call an internal conflict, which is a division of your soul, which creates unstable behavior. How many of y'all have been drunk before? I'm not really sure what I should answer this right now. All right. Now, girl, what you drink? I can hold my liquor. When you are drunk, you're unstable. All over the place. One moment you're laughing at nothing. Next moment you're just sitting in the corner just looking. Don't nobody know what you're going to do. Some people are angry drunks. You don't want to fight. Just drink a cup of courage. Some of you don't even dance normally, but when you get the drinking, they get that oil in you. All your moves come out. Talk to every woman in the club when you get a little oil and get courage. People, you're all over the place. I was watching one of my favorite social media videos. They had pulled this guy over because he was drinking, driving all over the place, and they said, "Sir, can you walk with one foot in front of the other?" He said, "I could if I wasn't drunk." Don't lock him up. The reality is, if you can remember that feeling of being drunk and you wake up with that hangover, and how many promises you ever made to God throwing up, "I will never drink this much Jack and Coke again. I will never." And then you doing it again. The reality is you don't have any regrets when you get settled. When you're double-minded, you date wrong. You choose wrong. You spend wrong. You eat wrong. You get into, when you're double-minded, you could be low on money, and because it ain't working out, I ain't paying nothing. You don't live once. I'm going to go do whatever. We going to Longhorn, and you don't pay nobody. Next week, you're just sitting in the dark. Can't even cook your SpaghettiOs. No, you will. You throw caution to the wind. Yeah, but y'all know I'm talking to tell the truth. Because you're all over the place. And God said, "I want you to get some stability in your life." Because watch this. When you're double-minded, you'll never accomplish anything. And God said, "I want to bring you focus. How do I get single-minded? How do I get single-minded?" Number one is this. You got to manage your imagination. Your imagination is a powerful thing. You know what your imagination is? It's a mental image of something that does not exist. And that works good and it works bad. When your imagination is all over the place, it will tell you stories of things that are not true to get you to believe them so that you live them out. And you live a self-fulfilling prophecy of things that were never supposed to happen because you dream them up. You can think yourself sick. You can think yourself into depression. You can imagine yourself into a place. I believe that we're all going to die. We're going to, at one point, you are. We're all going to die one day. That we'll have a funeral and all that stuff like that. But I just don't want to die tomorrow. I got some stuff I want to do. And I'm serious. I remember going, because one of the things I struggle with, the fear of death, because it happened to my brother and sister. And I remember going to a funeral just here recently. And when I left the funeral, and Satan in my head said, he was telling me, he said, what are they going to dress you in your casket? Are you going to dress like you do on Sunday morning? They're going to put you on a suit. And I said, oh, Lord. They're going to bury you by your brother. And I began to think in my head all day, what's going to happen to Barbara and Isaiah? And I began to imagine all these things in my head, and I start sweating. Jesus, I ain't ready to die. And I begin to think of all the things that I could do and all the things that I wanted to do just off of thought. Y'all looking at me strange, but you mad about something that happened 5 years ago and you relive it in your head and you just red and mad and ready to cuss everybody out and it was 5, 6 years ago. Your imagination can create a moment. That's why you got to move it in the right direction. You have to see what God is saying. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So to get stability, I got to get single focus in that my mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I can create this moment of what God wants it to be and see it and walk in it, because you got to manage your imagination. How do I do that? I meditate the word of God. It's not just a mind science, but I get what God says. And I have to constantly mutter that. God, you said with long life, but I'll satisfy you. So whatever goes on in my body, I have to tell myself, God, I'll live a long life and I will be satisfied in the name of, that may not mean anything to you, but when you are going through, I don't know if anybody goes through in your head or your mind, you have all kind of chatter and you got to settle yourself down. I do it with the word of God. All right. So I got to manage my imagination. The next thing I got to do is this. You got to know that faith is like a muscle built by the word of God. Faith is only as strong as you work it. And how do you work that muscle? You work that muscle by quoting the word of God, by building yourself with faith. Let me tell you, I don't have my earbuds. I do. I have my earbuds up here. This technology is an amazing thing. I don't know if you have a job where you can put your headphones in or wherever you go, but use your downtime. Put something in your ear. Constantly feed yourself the word of God. I'm not trying to tell you not to listen to any other music but gospel, but there comes a season in your life when you're trying to build your faith that you got to block all that stuff out of what you're going through in life. I remember I was sitting in a teaching, and they were teaching on faith, and my buddy sitting beside me, he said, that's when, I don't know if y'all remember who Bubba Sparks is. I'm probably dating myself with, and he had this song out called Miss New Booty. He said, I guess I got to stop listening to that this week, and I got to build my faith. I said, yeah, that probably building your faith in the wrong way, bro. But when you are trying, y'all right in here, when you are building your faith, I'm serious. You believe in God for healing, and you sitting here watching Grey's Anatomy, and then folks on there just patting. You may got to cut some of that stuff out. I'm serious. And there's nothing wrong with Grey's Anatomy and all that stuff like that. Don't say the preacher told me not to watch that. But when you have to guard your faith. Whenever you're trying to build it, y'all do it when you're trying to lose weight. You on Snickers and M&M's. Get thee behind me. Say, ain't nothing wrong with Snickers and M&M's. Ain't nothing wrong with McDonald's. I quite like it myself. But when you are trying to get a certain thing, you cut all that stuff out. Your faith works the same way. And here's the thing, many of us wondering why the devil is beating us up. It's because you don't have the resistance and the strength to fight him. It's not that he's not a defeated foe. You got to build your muscle to the point that when he comes, you can say, no, no, not today, devil. You picked the wrong person. I know who I am, and I know what God says about me. But if your faith is not built to that point, it's hard for you to resist him. And when your faith is low, we begin to question God. There's nothing too hard for God. But watch this. For every situation in your life, there is a faith level to move it. I just said something. And you got to get your faith up to the level that your situation requires. You believe in God to get out of debt. You believe in God for a new job. You believe in God for healing. You got to build your faith on that subject so that when it comes, you take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And that's the next point to becoming single-minded. You got to know your authority. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Hope is an anchor for your soul, so your faith connects you to hope. And it anchors you so that when Satan comes at you, you're not drawn and you're not blown about on every other direction. You can stand flat-footed on the word of God and say, listen, I know my authority. I'm speaking to some people in here that the chatter in your head is messing with you. Satan is telling you all kind of things. I want you to say today, draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. I've been there before financially. I've been there before. Anybody ever went and checked your balance and that sick feeling just came over your stomach? Jeez. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And your kids come home. Daddy, we need 20. Didn't you just ask? There's always something going on. And I remember I got at a point when I was in graduate school. Here's how I learned this. I got tired of calling home to my parents for money. I just pledged, so I spent all my money, and they were cutting my hours on my job. I got on my knees, and I was crying. And I said, God, this is not it. I need you to help me. Do you know what the Lord did? Nobody wrote me a check. Nobody, then mysteriously happened. He said, go to the university center. I said, yes, Lord. He said, go to the second floor. I said, yes, Lord. He said, they got a job board up there. I'm going to bless you with another job. And he did. I got another job that doubled what I was making. I had solid hours. I was in graduate school. They let me study until I did my court runs. I took authority over that situation and said, you know what? I'm not going to just wallow in my pity. I'm not going to find no young lady to take care of me. I'm not going to do... I said, God, I know pimping ain't easy, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up. I'm going to become a man. I'm not running home to mama because mama slide me money. I said, I'm going to stand in my authority. When you are going through, it'll make a man or a woman out of you. It'll show you who your God is. But some of you are going through stuff right now that you need to stand flat foot and say, enough is enough. Listen, I've been depressed long enough. I've been going through long enough. Listen, this is the last day I cry over this. I've got authority in God. It may not change outside of me, but it's going to change inside of me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who's in here today is tired of letting the devil making you out of a punching bag? You just taking his every punch. You just taking his every whim. Say, no, Mr. Devil, not today. I'm saying, some of you are questioning yourself. You're questioning your intellect. You're questioning if you're smart enough. And I want to let you know from the great movie, The Help, you is kind. You is smart. And you is important. Not because she said it, because the word of God said it. He said, you're the head and not the tail. He said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my soul knoweth right well. Matter of fact, when you know your authority and Satan brings you your stuff, Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Right now, you may be sick in your body, but you tell the devil, so. You may be going through in your finances, so. I may be going through in my job, so. What I see is subject to change, because I've been delivered from the hand of the enemy. And God always has the final say. I dare somebody to let the devil know, so. You tried your best shot, but you should have killed me when you had a chance. But it's too late now. I know I've won this battle in the name of... Somebody say so. This is going to sound crazy to you. In your mind, Satan is telling you the worst case scenario of what's going to happen in your situation. And you need to look at him and say, so. I don't focus on things that are temporal, because things that are temporal are subject to change. That lump in your body is subject to change. That disconnect notice is subject to change. That pain you're feeling is subject to change. What you're going through now is subject to change. But what will not change is heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never fail. Somebody say, I know my authority. And when you know your authority, you can ask in faith. I don't have to manipulate God. I don't have to con God. Has anybody ever been there before? You say, God, if you just get me out of this, I promise I'll never be back here again. Don't say that. You're going to be back in some other place again, because you are human. But when you ask in faith, you're saying this, God, I'm not begging. I'm not asking according to my ability. I'm asking according to your word. Here's the challenge, because most of us live by how we feel. You work hard if you feel good. And we treat people based on how we feel. And if I like you, I'm going to be good to you. I don't like you. The Lord bless you. We do things. We pray based on how we feel. I ain't feeling it today I'm praying based off his word. And if his word is going to perform based on, not based on how I feel, but based off what he said, I'm asking in faith. Some of you are afraid to ask God for something. You've got things going on in your life and you're saying, God, I want to ask, but I'm not sure that I can. Ask him. Because watch this. When you ask God, and people say, man, I don't want to play with God. You can't play God. He's smarter than all of us. Put together. God ain't gonna let you play him. You can't get over on God. God knows that when you get a hold of his goodness, his goodness is gonna change you. So he wants you to get a hold of his blessing because you'll never be the same. So when you ask in faith, God, knowing you can do it and you want to do it, I need you to touch my body. I need you to work in my behalf. I need you to do it. Look at them and say, ask in faith and not your feelings. The next thing is this. I'm almost through. You go in the direction you're believing God for, not in the direction that you're dreading. You're not going back, so don't look back. Can I tell you right now, I'm nervous. There's never a time that I preach that I'm not nervous. I'm afraid I don't put somebody to sleep. I'm afraid I'm bored. I said, let me hoop a little bit. Let me entertain people, do all this stuff. Because I have all these things going on in my head right now. But you know what I've learned? I've been preaching since I was 18 years old. I'm 42. I can't do the math in my head. 20-something years. And that feeling has never left. You know what I learned? To do it in spite of how I feel. You know how you're going to overcome what you're going through? Overcome it. It's going to come. I remember Frogger, get over it. It comes at you, get over it. Satan brings you stuff, get over it. It comes over here, on your job, get over it. You're going to go home, get over it. Just keep jumping. Lord, this one got me last time. You know, on Frogger, you got three lives. You got an infinite amount of lives with God. And God, it got me last week, but I'm going to get back up. Get over it. Whenever, tomorrow, you're going to go to work. When you walk in, over that footstool, they're going to look at you and say, I'm over this. Over this, not meaning I've checked out, but over this meaning anything that comes my way, faith is going to cause me to go over it. Because here's how you overcome doubt. I'm talking to somebody in this room because you're waiting for the feeling to leave. You're waiting to feel good about this. You go in the direction that God says go and let your feelings catch up. The Bible says this, the peace of God passes all understanding. Carrie, can you come for a moment? I want to show you something. You're going in a direction, and here is your peace. And God says, your understanding is going to be the last thing to catch up with what I'm doing. So I'm going to have peace that's going to prepare a way for you. So by the time your understanding catches up, that's why they say hindsight is 20/20. Anybody ever look back and say, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that's why this happened. That's because God was making a way for you. God was opening doors that no man can close. And then when your understanding finally caught up, that's why you can be going through hell and saying, Father, I deserve it. I worship you. That's why your life is about to fall apart and you're saying, God, I don't know what this joy I'm feeling right now. You know why? Because this joy you have, the world didn't give it to you. And they can't take it away because you don't understand it. But you know, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. It's because God's peace is ahead of your understanding. So I'm going in the direction that God says go, not in the direction of how I feel. Because watch this. If I go in the direction of how I feel, I'm going back to bed. I'm quitting. I'm cussing somebody out. Somebody's getting them hands. All kind of stuff. Y'all, don't y'all look at me like that. You have a seat there. If you go in the direction of how you feel, y'all looking at me. No, I ain't praying. I done tried reading that Bible. But God said, go in the direction that I said, trust me. And things will work out for your good. Last thing, I'm through. I'm not telling you, I'm not closing with this to get you to be afraid. Because there's a real devil. Just like we serve a real God, there's a real devil. And he's dirty. He's dirty. He don't fight fair. You know how I know he's dirty? Because when you're in the greatest moment of your life, he'll bring up some dirt that you done forgot about. He'll let you run across somebody that you had forgot to remind you of what you used to be and what you used to do. And you sitting here feeling guilty in a blessed place. He fights dirty. He don't fight fair. He tries to rob you of your joy. He wants you to hate yourself. He knows he can't destroy your destiny, so he wants you to question yourself. He wants you to think you're no good. He wants you to think you're worthless, or he wants you to be arrogant where you have no conscience, you don't have no regard for anything. He is not fighting fair. Watch this. When you defeat him, get ready because he's coming back. You ever had the kid that got whooped, and when he came back, he had all the little cousins with him? Where all y'all come from? Satan gonna come back with a bunch of little friends. Because you know fear has cousins. Doubt, worry, anxiety. He gonna bring all of them. But when they come, you stand flat-footed. And when he tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. You do know you lost, right? You do know your destiny set. But I have already defeated you through the power of Jesus Christ. And when he comes, you can take a hit. It ain't going to stop you. And when it comes, get over it. Get over it. You may trip. Get back up. Get over it. The game, I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but the game is not over for you.
Somebody think you're through? Think it's it? No, it's not over for you. In fact, you're just getting started. The end of your understanding is the beginning of God's peace and Him doing stuff beyond what you ever imagined. Can you stand to your feet all over the building? I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want to pray for somebody in here who, in your mind, I want to pray this over you. You're going through all kind of chatter and stuff in your mind, causing you to be all over the place, and you can't settle yourself. You could be second-guessing yourself. Did I do the right thing? And listen, you can't figure out if you've done the right thing or not until you settle down. You may not have done the right thing. You ever think about that? But if you're in the wrong place, the right place is still available. God ain't going to fill your spot. I'm talking to somebody in here. But you cannot make a decision until you get settled. And this morning, God said, I'm going to settle you in your mind. I'm going to settle you in your spirit. And I'm going to let you know that I've taken care of this, and I want you to go in the direction of my word. If you're going through some type of battle in your mind and thoughts and all these kind of things, and you want God to settle you in your spirit, I'm going to let you lift both of your hands at your seat. I want to pray over you. Some great things about to happen for you. Settle in with what's next. Some of you feel guilty for being successful. You look at some people around you and say, why me? He's going to focus you because there's more than what you got right now. Father, I thank you. Every warring thought of the enemy. Some of you have had some thoughts you hadn't told anybody. Thoughts of ended. Thoughts of this is not going to work. Thoughts of despair. Some of you have stopped dreaming. You've questioned a whole lot of stuff because of thoughts that are not from God. And God's going to clarify the thoughts that are His. And He's going to move you in a direction of His word and not how you feel. Because your understanding and your feelings are going to be the last thing to catch up. But peace is going to keep you. Father, I thank you that this is our challenge this week. You're going to find a word for your situation. And you're going to stand on that word and not how you feel. And that word is going to change your life in the name of Jesus. I honor you. For every person who is struggling with guilt in here, I pray that you'll see that that is a feeling and not a sentence. You are not cursed. God's not looking to pay you back. If you have repented of your sins, you have been wiped, your slate has been wiped clean. You're saying, but what about all the stuff I'm dealing with my decisions? There's grace for that in the name of Jesus. But I want you to start looking forward because you're not a victim of your past. We thank you, we honor you, and we bless you now in Jesus' name. And I feel that in my spirit. Can you find at least three people and tell them this? I'm not a victim of my past. Find somebody and tell them, I'm not a victim of my past. Find somebody.